Parshas Toldos is really a showdown between two different worldviews. It's the worldview of the Goyim, or the Western world as we'll call it, and the worldview of what we see as the Jewish nation. Yeah? And Rashi says in Perek Chofei Pasuk Chof Beis, even before they were born, Vayisreitzu Habonim Bekirbo, there was a fight, there was a conflict within Rivka herself. So Rashi explains Vayisreitzu, what was the fight, what was the conflict inside them? So Rashi took different shotim. The second shot Rashi brings down is Misreitzim Zem Zeh. They were fighting Merivim Benachnas Shnei Lomos about the Nachla of two worlds. They were fighting about two worlds. So the Bali Musa asked, why are they fighting about two worlds? Why are you fighting about two worlds? Make a pshara. Make a compromise. Yaakov Avinu should compromise with Esav and say, Esav, you take Olam Hazeh and I'll take Olam Habo. Esav's not interested in Olam Habo. He's not interested. So he's fighting about the second world. He wants this world. He wants to enjoy himself, eat, drink, and make merry. That's it. Yaakov is interested in this world. So let him have. Esav had this world and he had the next world. What are they fighting about two worlds for? Well, what's that all about? So there's a very, very beautiful vort. It's brought down from the brother of Avram, the brother of the Gvulda Gaon. And it's different to the way we usually learn this pasuk. We have obviously the very, very well known statement that Yitzchak Avinu finds Yaakov. And he's confused. He doesn't know how this is working. He's got the kol kol Yaakov, Yadayim Esav. His voice sounds like Yaakov. He was polite. You mentioned the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name many times. But his Yadayim, his arms felt like Yadayim Esav. His arms felt like Esav. So the Medrash brings down kol kol Yaakov, Yadayim Esav. The Medrash brings down that at the time, if there's a kol Yaakov, a base of Medrash, a base of Knesset, that it won't be Yidei Esav. There won't be the hands of Esav. But if there's no kol Yaakov, if there's no voices of Torah and learning and Tefillah, then the hands of Esav are able to overpower and overpower Yaakov. But it doesn't say that in the pasuk. That's drush. It doesn't say in the pasuk. The pasuk does say Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayidayim Yidei Esav. It's simultaneous. It doesn't say a kol im ein kol kol Yaakov daim idei Esav. It says a kol kol Yaakov v'hai daim idei Esav, which means simultaneously you have kol kol Yaakov and you have daim idei Esav. So it's a very nice drush, and it's true. Of course, it's true. But how does that work within the pshat of the pasuk? So the brother of the Gaon says that this, and he says that Yitzchok had a revelation that he didn't see that beforehand. Even Yitzchok, the Bechira, the one of the Ovis Aglishim, the of Gevura, and the Koyach that he had of self-control, he never realized something until this moment. He never realized that a person can have the element of Kol Kol Yaakov, a person can be focused, a person can be involved, a person can be taken up with Ruchnius. He's a Kol Kol Yaakov, he's totally enveloped in Ruchnius, and like Yaakov was as a Kol Kol Yaakov, at the same time, he can have Yadayim Yidei Esav. The same time, he can have the ability and the strength and the power and the world control that Esav can have at the same time. In other words, it's not a stira. It's not a contradiction. If it's Kol Kol Yaakov, a person is learning and a person has a Koyach HaTorah and a person has a Koyach of Tefillah, then he's not compromising, he's not giving up in that moment his element of power, of Parnasa, of Shefan Olam Hazeh. On the contrary, he's not leaving anything behind. If it's Kol Kol Yaakov, if you had the voice of Yaakov, at that moment you have all the Shefa of that the world has to give the Olam Hazeh, it's Yadayim Yidei Esav. He had Yadayim Yidei Esav at the same time. Like you saw, you can have a Kol Kol Yaakov and you have Yadayim Yidei Esav. In other words, it's a very easy Yitzhahara for a person to think to himself, you know what, if I skipped Shachris this morning, or I left Shachris 20 minutes early, I'll catch this extra appointment and I'll be able to make money. It's not. The Tefillah is what brings you Panosa. The Tefillah is what helps you with Yeruchnius. The Yeruchnius helps you with Yigashnius. Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ve'ezrei. Ashrei is Loshon of Osher, of wealth. Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ve'ezrei. If a person believes that Yaakov Vinel HaKel Yaakov, he's Ba'osher, he's relaxed because he has B'shas Kol Kol Yaakov, he has also the Yadayim Yidei Esav. On the contrary, Esav, it's brought down.
That's suggesting that Yaakov wants both worlds.
Exactly. I was going to come to that. Which means, ultimately, I'm heading towards a part that Yaakov Avinu has both worlds, and Esav has nothing. That's what they were fighting about. Esav believes all the way through that he's never ever going to be happy with Olam Hazeh. And it's not fair, therefore, the Yaakov Inish got Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. And that's exactly where I'm trying to head in that direction. The Pasuk says when he asks Yaakov Inish for the Bechira,
he's trying to take
Yaakov's
place in the
Machpelah. Yes. So he says Yaakov Inu gives to him Lechem Nezin Adoshim. Sorry, Esav said, "Give me this red stuff. I'm tired." For that reason, he's called Edoim. You know, people's names are very important to them, or why they're called this, why they're called that. Edoim, I have a good reason why it's called Edoim, because he was born ginger. He was bright red, he came out fully with a big beard. You know, these little pictures you see in these kids' partial things. He's bright red, that's why it's called Edoim. No, says Apostle, because he said, "Ten limen ha'odim ha'odim hazeh," give me this red stuff, he's called Edoim. The rest of his life is called Edoim. Why? Why? So this is a foreigner, very, very beautiful. He said, the Sephora, every word of his is beautiful. Kashiro shekol kach hitmacher lemalachtoi hanifsedes. He's so attached to his losing elements of his approach to life. Asheloi katoras ha'odom. Not even he's lost his human side to him. Actually, hiki benozit kiim tzvoi. He was so engrossed in taiva that he didn't see beyond the color of this product. It's Nasida Doshim. It's something, it's a delicacy. Call it by its name. Call it lentils. No. He just sees this red thing. In other words, he is so engrossed and he's completely lost any love he has for Gashmias because he has beyond that. He's lost his sensitivity to Gashmias. When a person is such a Baal Taiva that he's not even sensitive to what the food is, then he's called Edoim. He's just called red. In other words, this person literally sees red. Yeah, he sees red. That's all he sees. He sees Odom. So when a person loses his gashmis and his sensitivity and he's so involved, he doesn't even enjoy the gashmis. All he's doing now is eating red stuff. So here we have the exact opposites. On one hand, you have Yaakov Avinu, who is focused on Ruchnius. If it's Koil Koil Yaakov, if he's focusing on Ruchnius and his Tefillah and Torah, then he has as well the Daimide Esav, he has the Ruchnius and the strength of a Daimide Esav and the Gashmius as well. When you focus only on the Gashmius, like Esav, you can become so engrossed that you don't even enjoy what you have. You lose it completely. And all he sees is red, and he's just eating this red stuff. He doesn't enjoy it. That's a person who loses this world as well. And I just saw now, it says the Baal HaTurim brings down, Haliteini no min. Haliteini no min is hey nun men, Rosh Tevis. Hey nun men, we'll flip it around, is homon. Haliteini no min, Rosh Tevis, homon. What's the shot in that? The Gemara says, the Gemara I think it's Gemara in Megillah, homon min atoyer minayin. Where's a remez to homon in the Torah? So the Gemara says, hamin ha'etz hazeh. Is it from this tree? It's very nice. Hamin, homon, the same letters. What's the idea behind it? In Gan Eden, they had every single pleasure they could possibly have. The Malachim were playing music for them. They had any delicacy they can have. There's one thing they couldn't have. One thing they couldn't have. And they wanted that. Hamina eats azek. From this tree you can't have. If you can't have from this tree, what did Haman say? He had everything. Everybody's koyer mishtachlim. Everyone was bowing down to him. Besides Mordechai. What did he say? V'kol zeh inyenu shoveli. Nothing is worthwhile. Because one person doesn't bow down to me. That is a hashkofa of Esav. That's a hashkofa of Haman. That if you can't have everything, nothing's worth it. And therefore he's not going to get Olam Hazeh. You're not going to say you have Olam Hazeh and Yaakov has Olam Habo. Because a Rosha has no Olam Hazeh and no Olam Habo. And a Tzaddik has both Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. And that's why they're loichem over shtei olamos. Yaakov is going to take both and Esav's going to get nothing. That was idea, the focus on what's going on over here. Later on in the parasha, we find a very, very interesting an adventure. Yeah, we find an adventure how Rivka calls in Yaakov Avinu and tells Yaakov Avinu to wear the clothes of Esav that she had hidden by her. So the Chasam Sofer asks, "It's a mitzvah of Aveira. It's a mitzvah to get the brachos needed for the sake of Klal Yisrael, but he's stealing from him. It's a mitzvah of Avira. He's stealing Esau's clothes. Shoyl shloy birushus gazlan. If you borrow something without permission, you're a gazlan. You're stealing. What right did Rivka have to take the clothes from Esau without permission and give it to Yaakov? If somebody leaves something by me to look after, I can't give it to somebody else, lend it to them without permission. It's a gazlan. How could Yaakovina get all the brachos of Esau through a way of stealing it? That's completely wrong. So the Chasam Sofer answers that Esau himself has stolen it. These are the clothes of Adam HaRishon that eventually went down to Nimrod, and he stole the clothes of Nimrod. There's different numbers. He himself never owned it. It's not called Gazeta. But you're right. Why do we have to go through this whole thing of taking something and relying on this stolen item to use it? Why could Akash Baruch have given him the brachos without that? Why do it in that way? What's the time? Why go ahead with this? So, there's a beautiful piece in Leinin of Shabeach. And he brings down, there's a certain, I don't know, and maybe you can help me with this. I've never been there. On the coast near China, in the Pacific, there's a way of the fishermen use a particular kind of bird to do the fishing for them. It's very hard to catch some fish. It's very hard to get some fish. So what they do is they put a ring around their neck that it can't swallow it. So the fish goes along and starts picking up all the different fish and has a great time. And he's waiting to make this big gulp. But they can't make a big gulp because there's a ring around the neck. So when they're trying to make the big gulp, they give it a little pull, poof, and they spit out all the fish, and it's delivered to the fisherman on a silver platter. And that's the way. So this bird is going along there, and he's enjoying himself, taking a fish from there. And what happens is, the maisa, he's getting rid of it, he's losing everything. So Zilberstein says that this is a Musa for us. He says, Esau HaRosha stole the clothes. He stole the clothes of Nimrod. What's his special clothes? It's his special clothes. Animals get attracted to it. He stole the clothes, and he believed through that, that is going to be an element that is going to increase his chances for a good panasa. He's going to be more successful now. He's going to do better in life. By doing something wrong, I'm going to do better. What happened? Exactly the opposite. Because he had these clothes, and that is how he was identified by Rivka took these clothes for Yaakov, and Yaakov took the brachos that Esau was going to get. So he was going to be a gazlan, and he's found out now to be a nigzal. He was trying to steal, and eventually got stolen from him. So that is life. A person attempts and tries to get ruchnius when he shouldn't be. When he tries to get ruchnius, gets ruchnius and gashnius. But when a person attempts to get gashnius without permission, then sometimes it backfires. And Rivka wanted to show us for generations and generations, don't be this bird who eats and eats and eats, and he realizes it's not even for you, it's for somebody else. Homon HaRosha. He builds an eight, Skvoyach Mishim Amo, and he goes along and he's trying to kill Mordechai. What happens? That eight was prepared for him. Yosef HaTzadik. He goes along and he's nice to people, and he's comforting in the Beis Asurim. And what happens? That one who's comforting too goes along and saves his life. Yisroi saves Moshe Rabbeinu's life, with the coals, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take the Malchus, and he saved him with the coals, and eventually Moshe Rabbeinu makes Yisroi who he is. Ultimately, whatever you put in comes back to you. And if you try though, and attempt to manipulate the world to an extent, then Gashmius, you're trying to get too much Gashmius, you try to steal, it gets stolen away from you. Esav is somebody who tried to get both worlds. He got nothing. Yaakov Venus, or Kol Yaakov, at the same time, he's a daimi de Esav, he got that power. There's just one very, very beautiful one to finish off with.
I don't know what the source is. He said that Bathsheba was the woman that he gave up to the Hittim. And she was, that's your muedet, you gave up, that's yours. In other words, he was supposed to reunite with Bathsheba. I don't know what the source is, but he told us that once.
Who did? Sorry,
Rav Zilberstein.
Yeah. So that is a koyach. That's a koyach of using panosa for the right thing and for the wrong. And there's a beautiful ksav sefer. The ksav sefer says v'yitin l'cho elikim. So he says v'yitin l'cho. Says a medrash.
Again and again.
Yeah. read it out to the Medrash. It says, "V'yitain l'chol Medrash yitain v'yachze v'yitain." He'll give you bracha, yitain l'chol, v'yachze v'yitain, v'yitain yitain l'chol bracha, v'yitain l'chol kubshem. I'll give you bracha and give it to you again. So what does it mean? V'yachze v'yitain. I'll give you v'yachze v'yitain and give it to you again. What does that mean? What does it mean? And I'll give you kubshem, somebody to hide it. Obviously, you know, if a person gives, a kosher bracha gives somebody, obviously he should be storing it. Otherwise, what's the point of having it? What kind of bracha is it if there's nowhere to store it? So he says, there's a very interesting Gemara in Yuma. And the Gemara says that Tamidei Chachamim Adoimim Lanoshim, they appear to be like women, V'oisin Gevura Ka'anoshim, but they are powerful like men. So what does that mean? So, obviously a man is a moshel of a person who is giving, and a woman is a recipient. So the way we see the world, from the outside source is, you know, we often talk about yeshiva bachrim are being parasites. They're eating off society. In real Torah Hashkafa, the element of what gives the world its shefa, the world it receives its sustenance in ruchnius and gashmius is only coming from the fact that we have Torah in the world, and we have mitzvahs in the world, we have ma'asim tovim, we have tefillah. It's a people who are nefesh hachaim, of course. It's us who are giving to them. Kol ha'olam nizol b'shvil chanina b'ni. Everyone is eating because of chanina, my son. And the Gemara says, v'day le'bekav cheruvim. And he has so little. In other words, those people who are not doing mitzvahs, and they're feeding off the Tamidei Chachamim's mitzvahs, they are the parasites. But you don't tell them that. That's not kiruv. But the idea is to understand what we are doing. See, Socher's Vulan is a person who is feeding and a person who is taking. We look at the one who is feeding the Talmud Chochem as if he's the one who's providing, and the Talmud Chochem is taking. We look at the Talmud Chochem as if they're the Noshim, they're taking, and the ones who provide them are the ones who are the Anoshim. It's not true. It's the Talmud Chochemim who are giving Eitz Chaim in the Machzikim Bo, is giving Chaim to the ones who are feeding them. So they are really the Anoshim, and those who are taking, who are providing them, are the Noshim. That's v'yitin l'chol yachze v'yitin. I will give to those people who are supplying you. We don't want to have the Tamidei Chachamim involved in too much gashmis because his head will not be free for ruchnius. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a bracha v'yitin l'chol. I will give to those people who will make the panosa. V'yachze v'yitin l'chol, and then they will provide what you need for your ruchnius. And that's kvushay, and that is it. He'll be stored for you in the right time. You'll take when you need it. And that's b'shat when Esav came along and he said, Esav said, it's not one bracha left for me. What bracha did he want? The bracha was, Rabbi Yishleim, leave it to me. I will provide. I'll be the one who provides the Menachomim with Parnasa. Esav, we don't have that bracha for you. We don't have that bracha for you. That's been taken away. That's given to the people who support Torah. And therefore, ultimately, the question was, why is it that they were fighting over two worlds? Why can't they compromise? Where Yaakov Avinu takes Olam HaZeh, Olam HaBo, and Esav takes Olam HaZeh? Because the answer is, in Metzius, it doesn't work that way. A Rasha has no Hanor from Olam HaZeh at all. Because he wants everything, he doesn't get everything. A Talmud Chochem is somebody who knows everything is from Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he enjoys both Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBo, and he gets everything. And it's not fair, fine, to do tshuva. Right? That's the way it goes. And that is this week's parasha. Rabbeinu Shleilam should give us Yas Dishmaya to know who we are, and the mission we have to be called Kol Yaakov Ez Hashem, and we have as well the koyach of Yedayim Yedei Esav to have control over the rest of the world.
He said Esav had that garment that took away, removed all the white animals. Yeah.